time to go back to school with Professor Fish, America's only show dedicated to college athletics on a national level.
Oh, man, I think the clock is slow.
University of Fish. Class is now in session.
I don't feel tardy.
Here's the professor, Tim Fisher.
Welcome to the University of Fish. I am the professor, Tim Fisher, and we're going to get into college football in earnest this week. Next week, we have a full slate of games, but this week we do have games. We're going to be talking with the great Pat Forty. You might know the name, wrote for Sports Illustrated, is now with writing for YahooSports.com, is an Air Academy graduate. Yes, he's from right here in Colorado Springs, played for Gary Barnett at Air Academy. How great is that, having a coach like that in high school? We'll be talking to him in just a little bit, but we're going to start off talking about how liberal lunacy has taken over college sports. It's taken over all of sports. I mean, you have the Colin Kaepernick situation. And now, I know, you know, you want kids to go to college and be free thinkers. And then so if these kids have their little protest of the national anthem in college, you know, I think they should lose their scholarship. That's what I think. Now, will that happen? No, because college campuses have become the bastion for liberal lunacy in this nation. And I don't want to get all political here, but we've got to have a little bit of political talk this morning because it has just gotten way out of hand. And it goes from statues. Yes, statues. The round mound of rebound was called that when he was played for Auburn Tigers way back in the early 80s. That, of course, would be the great Charles Barkley. Here's what he had to say about statues.
I'm not going to waste my time worried about these Confederate statues. That's wasted energy. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep doing great things. I'm going to keep trying to make a difference, number one, in the black community because I'm black. But I'm also going to try to do good things in the world. I'm not going to waste my time screaming at a neo-Nazi who's going to hate me no matter what. And I'm not going to waste my time trying to worry about these statues they got all over the country.
So do you leave them up and ignore them?
I've always ignored them. Rick, I'm 54 years old. I've never thought about those statues a day in my life. I think if you ask most black people, to be honest, they thought a day in their life about those stupid statues. What we as black people need to do, we need to worry about getting our education. We need to stop killing each other. We need to try to find a way to have more economic opportunity and things like that. Don't waste. Those things are important and significant. You know, I'm wasting time and energy screaming at a neo-Nazi or, man, you got to take this statue down.
Now, great words by a great man. I do like Charles Barkley, even though sometimes his golf swing is terrible, terrible. And I had to try to pull off of Charles Barkley there. Didn't do it real well. But Charles Barkley is a very intelligent man, especially when he's talking about what's going on with his own culture. And now, should they, talking about statues, what about the statue of Bear Bryant? He was one of the last college football coaches to completely integrate his football team. So, should we tear that down? Should we tear down Bear Bryant's statue? What about Heisman statues that are up of players that were on teams before, you know, when they were segregated? What about that? It makes no sense. And then you have all the kerfuffle. I love that word. Since we're talking about statues, a couple weeks ago, of course, the tragedy in Charlottesville, Virginia, where the young lady was run over by a supposed white nationalist. And yeah, okay, President Trump may have said some things that people didn't always agree with, okay? We're not going to get into that. But the backlash and what has happened since then in the world of college sports, ESPN pulled Robert Lee, from doing a game for University of Virginia this next week. Why? Because of his name. Clay Travis from Outkick, the coverage on Fox Sports, has had this to say when he was talking to Tucker Carlson the other night.
Yeah, well, look, this is the situation that they've created, right? And here's the big problem. You just hit on it, Tucker. What's the worst-case scenario here? 100,000 people watch a crappy game between Virginia and William and Mary when there are like 50 games that are every bit as good or better going on that day. And a few people create memes saying like, oh, look, Robert E. Lee's trying to sneak back into Charlottesville. And nobody at ESPN, I think this goes to Britt's point, nobody at ESPN stands up and says, you know what? In the grand scheme of things, if we just let him call the game, this is a 45-minute or one-hour story on social media that nobody remembers by the time Alabama and Florida State game is over on that Saturday night. Instead, they created a multi-day mushroom cloud surrounding the company and made me look like a genius for calling them MSESPN and tying this all into whether it's Michael Sam being gay and he's a hero, or Colin Kaepernick taking a knee and he's a modern-day Rosa Parks, or whether, God forbid, Caitlyn Jenner decides that she wants to be a girl and gets the heroic award from ESPN for the entire year. Fans are reasonable, and they connect all these things, and they say, boy, it's hard to argue right now that ESPN is calling straight balls and strikes, as John Roberts, the Supreme Court Justice, said. They've got an agenda at play, and their agenda is very left-wing.
And it is showing that they are very left-wing recently, because why would you pull Robert Lee? He's an Asian guy. Who is going to confuse him with Robert E. Lee, the Confederate general? I mean, you've seen all the memes all week. I know you have. I mean, him Robert Lee superimposed up on Stone Mountain, Georgia. You know, instead of Robert E. Lee, there was Stonewall Jackson and Jefferson Davis. I mean, and then, you know, pictures of Robert Lee leaving ESPN studios. You see the General Lee from Dukes of Hazzard peeling out. I mean, it's become such a joke. It really has. ESPN handled it very poorly. They're saying that he decided to not call the game at their prompting. It was their prompting to make him not call the game. Now, it's not like he's not going to be able to call a game. He's still going to be calling, I think he's calling the Pitt game next week instead of UVA, William & Mary, which no one's going to watch. No one's going to care. People in Virginia would have no problem with him calling the game, and they're not going to get a lot of viewers. What people in Virginia have a problem with when it comes to college football and ESPN, they don't like Pam Ward calling games. They'd rather have an Asian named Robert Lee instead of Pam Ward. Seriously. Now, if you want to talk lunacy, the University of Southern California, yes, you heard last week, I've got them up in my top five, but Traveler, you know, the white horse, the Trojan rides out every pregame, plants the sword at midfield, riding on his white horse. No, it's not the white horse. That wouldn't make sense, wouldn't it? Everybody going, oh, you don't need a white horse. You need an Appaloosa, so it's multicultural, multicolored. No, it's not the color of the horse. It is the name of the horse, Traveler. Traveler was also one of Robert E. Lee's favorite horses in his stable of horses, spelled differently. So what do the liberals at USC want to do? They wanted the horse's name changed. This is as ludicrous, as stupid, as asinine as it was when you had the petition going around at LSU because saying that the tiger was racially oppressive. The tiger was racially oppressive because Louisiana Tigers in the Confederate Army hundreds of years ago. Come on, people. It's time to just let it go. It's our history. It's history. What that means is it's behind us. Let's move forward. I don't know. I'm getting tired of the liberal lunacy that is attacking college sports and the sports world as a whole. So anyway, we're going to take a break, reset, actually talk some college football. When we come back, we're going to be talking with the great Pat Forty of YahooSports.com. He will be breaking down each of the Power Five conferences and giving us his college football playoff picks. We'll see how that goes when we come back right here on the University of Fish on Extra Sports 1300.
Everyone, back in your seats. University of Fish is back in session.
This is Dusty Dvorak, former Oklahoma Sooner and Chicago Bear. Sports Talk Radio Show on WWL Sports Animal in Oklahoma City and a college football analyst for ESPN. And you're listening to the University of Fish.
Welcome back to the University of Fish. I am the Professor Tim Fisher, and we are joined now by a Colorado Springs native who has made it big on the national scene. We're talking with Pat Forty of YahooSports.com. Pat, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Tim. Good to be on in my hometown. Hope all is well beneath the shadow of Pikes Peak.
It is doing very well right now, getting ready for college football.
The professor is going on a power trip.
Right now, we're talking the Power Five. We're going to start off with
the ACC.
Last year, we had Florida State, Clemson, and Louisville, all that really had a shot, and then Virginia Tech trying to do something in a championship game. Do you see a whole lot different this year?
You know, I think the ACC coming off maybe the best year it's ever had. You had a national championship. You had an Orange Bowl victory. You had a Heisman Trophy winner. I think the conference is set up for another really good season. You know, I think Florida State right now on paper looks like the team to beat. But if Clemson gets productive play at quarterback, you know, replacing Deshaun Watson, I think they're going to be really good again. Louisville people seem to be kind of discounting Lamar Jackson. I'm not sure why. I think that he'll have another very good season, and Louisville will be certainly a top 20 team, maybe top 15. Virginia Tech, as you pointed out, has kind of gotten a bit of a resurgence with Justin Fuente. And I think Mark Richt, this might be the year that Miami finally gets back to being good and wins the division and plays in its first ACC title game. So I think there's a lot to like about the ACC.
Now, tell me about any Heisman candidates, because obviously we have the returning Heisman Trophy winner in Lamar Jackson. What do you think about DeAndre Francois or anybody else from the conference?
Yeah, I mean, DeAndre Francois was very good as a freshman. Tough guy, took a lot of hits and hung in there and kept playing all year. And I think he's going to certainly be somebody to watch and see how he does. If you want a kind of a dark horse Heisman, if you're going to put a defensive guy in there, I think Derwin James from Florida State, the safety, is the best safety in the country, maybe the best defensive back in the country. And the defensive line at Clemson is going to be lights out again. And that starts with Christian Wilkins and Dexter Lawrence. So there is plenty of individual talent within the league.
Okay, now we get to the first weekend of December. Who's playing in that championship game?
I'm going to say Florida State and Miami. Get that rivalry front and center again. They play each other head-to-head in September 16th, I believe, but I think that we're looking at a rematch of those two in the ACC championship game.
Okay, now we're going to move on to
the Big Ten.
Last year, we had a logjam at the top on the East with Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan all going down to that last weekend to who's going to take it. Wisconsin pretty much ran away with the West. Do you see the same thing happening this year?
You know, I think it's going to be a little bit different. I think Ohio State is the team to beat, but Penn State probably not far behind. They play each other in Columbus this year, so I would say advantage to the Buckeyes there. Michigan rebuilding, so you know, I'm not expecting them to quite have the success they had. I think Jim Harbaugh certainly has it going in the right direction there, but they lost 17 starters from last year's team and over 40 seniors, so that's a big hit. So I expect Michigan to probably take a step back this year while still being a good team. On the West, I think on paper, certainly Wisconsin looks the best, but I have a sneaking suspicion this might be a year for Northwestern. Pat Fitzgerald gets as much as he can out of his talent. They've got a quarterback, Clayton Thorson, who is improving significantly throughout his career. He's become a much better thrower. Justin Jackson, outstanding running back there, who can also return kicks and catch passes. So I think Northwestern may sneak up on Wisconsin in the West.
Now we're going to the first, once again, first weekend of December, Big Ten Championship. Who do we have?
I'm going to say Ohio State against Northwestern, and it will be a mismatch. I think Ohio State's much better. That's the one problem with the Big Ten is the divisional alignment is tilted pretty heavily towards the East these days over the West. So I think that Ohio State, if it gets there, will win the Big Ten championship pretty easily.
Okay, now on to
the Big 12.
Championship game is back. We don't have the two divisions. It's a round robin. Everybody plays everybody. How does the Big 12 look this year?
Interesting. You know, there's major coaching turnover, obviously, at Oklahoma and at Texas. You got young coaches there, but very highly regarded guys. Great offensive minds, Tom Herman at Texas, Lincoln Riley at OU. But I have a sneaking suspicion the best team in the league might be Oklahoma State. Mason Rudolph back at quarterback. He's really good. Might have the best receiver in the country in James Washington. They've got a 1,000-yard running back returning. Got some holes to fill on defense. But if they fill them adequately, I think Oklahoma State might be the best in that league, probably followed by Oklahoma. We'll see what Tom Herman can do in year one at Texas.
Now, do you see a Oklahoma State rematch, a Bedlam rematch in the Big 12 championship?
I do. And, you know, it's interesting because, I mean, no matter what, it's going to be a rematch in that championship game. And I'm not sure adding the championship game is going to work out well for the Big 12. I know they did a lot of research that kind of indicates they need that 13th game to make themselves more competitive for the college football playoff. But it also serves as double jeopardy for the best team. But I do think Oklahoma and Oklahoma State will play in that championship game. And right now I would take the Cowboys, I think.
Now, the Big 12 has been shut out the past couple of years. Well, three of the 4 years of the college football playoff. Does that happen again this year, or do they get someone in if an Oklahoma State runs the table or something?
Yeah, I mean, if Oklahoma State runs the table, they would get in. You know, can they? I don't know if they can. You know, probably going to lose a game somewhere. And then, you know, you got to just look around the rest of the country and see how it looks. I do think the league is still probably, from a competitive standpoint, a notch below most of the other Power 5 leagues. So I would not be shocked if the Big 12 is once again on the outside looking in.
We're going to move out west to the
Pac-12.
Now, last year, Washington made it to the playoff. Everybody thought that USC was the best team in the league. They're probably the best in the South this year. The North is much more competitive this year with Washington State coming up, and Oregon's not going to stay down like they were last year. What do you see out of the Pac-12?
Yeah, it should be a good year. I do agree. I think the North is probably the deeper, certainly, division. Stanford is, you know, year in, year out, consistently good. Washington is going to be really good again. You did mention Washington State, and we'll see if Oregon can rebound there. On the other side, I think USC is the dominant team in that division, and you're kind of looking to see who can be second, a distant second maybe behind them. I know Colorado had the great breakthrough year last year. Is that sustainable? That's going to be a big question there. Lost a lot on defense. Lost defensive coordinator Jim Leavitt. So some transition there for Colorado to deal with. I would say it's going to come down to USC and Washington in that conference, and I would probably take the Trojans this time around.
Okay, now we're looking first weekend of December, the Pac-12 championship. Who's it going to be?
Yeah, I am going to stick with the Trojans. I think that Sam Darnold is something special. The quarterback, love the way he plays. It's very kind of unscripted, improvisational. I went out and talked to him a couple of weeks ago, really enjoyed that, a nice young man. We need a couple receivers probably to step up, but they're going to run the ball well. The offensive line should be probably better than it was last year. So I think it's USC's to lose in the Pac-12.
And who do you think represents the North?
I think Washington. You know, I think Chris Peterson's as good a coach as there is in the country, not named Nick Saban. And I think he's got that program now, even though they lost quite a bit from last year's team, certainly at wide receiver and on defense. But I think that that program's kind of going to be on autopilot for several years to come.
Well, I know a lot of people would think that I'm saving the best for last.
The SEC.
I'm only going alphabetical, but a lot of people do think the SEC is still the dominant conference in the nation. Now, last year in the East, it was Florida. Tennessee looked like it had a chance. They had a chance throughout the season. Kirby Smart still doing something pretty good there at Georgia. But is it Florida's to lose again this year on the East side of it?
I don't know. know. You know, I mean, Florida should be better offensively than it has been for several years. But defense, they had some major losses. And just earlier in the summer here, had their top returning tackler gone for the year with an Achilles tear. So I think that they're not going to be as good defensively, probably better offensively. But it's probably time for Georgia to step up and do what it has not been doing the last few years, to really maximize all the talent on the roster. A lot of experience. Got to get better quarterback play. Jacob Eason was a highly touted recruit. Jumped right in as the starter as a freshman, but struggled quite a bit. If he improves, I think Georgia's the team to beat in the East.
Now, in the West, can anybody challenge Alabama? Does LSU under first-year full-time coach, Coach Orgeron, or do they finally get it done there on the plains in Auburn?
I think both those teams are going to be good. I think both LSU and Auburn are going to be top 15, maybe top 10 nationally. But I don't think they're as good as Alabama is. I think that, talk about a guy who's stacked up recruiting classes. It's Nick Saban. They've got great players just waiting for their chance, and now some younger guys are going to get that chance defensively. On offense, they have the best running back core in the country. They've got a quarterback who I think will be asked and able to do more, Jalen Hurts, than he did last year. The offensive line is good. The receivers are good. I don't think anybody in the SEC can handle Alabama.
Okay, so you're taking Alabama in the SEC. If you had five Heisman picks, we have two of the five finalists returning this year, that being the winner last year in Lamar Jackson, and, of course, Baker Mayfield, the two-time finalist, there, the quarterback at Oklahoma. Are they the front runners, or do you see somebody else?
I would say those two will be there again, and then I would throw in Sam Darnold. I would throw in JT Barrett from Ohio State. And, I'm curious to see whether Saquon Barkley can get there from Penn State and give the running backs some representation. It's a great, great year for quarterbacks in college football, but Saquon Barkley is awfully good, and I think they're going to give him the ball even more this year. He's going to be super productive.
Okay, championship, conference championships have been played. Who makes the playoffs this year?
I'm going to say USC, Alabama, Ohio State, and Florida State. And I would say maybe you get Alabama, Ohio State in the championship, and I would take the Crimson Tide there.
So the Big 12 getting shut out again this year. Now, Pat, last thing I've got to ask you, okay? I know you went to Air Academy here in Colorado Springs. When you played at Air Academy, you had a coach that a lot of people in the state of Colorado know very well. Gary Barnett was your coach. Talk about your time here in Colorado Springs.
Well, it was wonderful. I mean, I loved growing up there. Lived in Rock Drummond and loved it. It was an ideal childhood. I did play high school football and basketball for the Cadets, and Gary Barnett was the coach for my sophomore and senior years, and then he went on to college coaching after that. But I mean, we got coaching that was far above the average high school quality of coaching, and I really enjoyed Coach Barnett. Still keep in touch with him. He was a great influence on my life, really a positive influence for myself and for many other guys, I think, who played for him. And I would not trade those years for anything. Loved growing up in Colorado Springs and going to Air Academy.
We're talking with Pat Forty of YahooSports.com. Pat, it's going to be an exciting season. Do look forward to talking to you throughout the season as we get some of those big games coming up.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
We're going to take a break, and we come back, we're going to talk about games happening this week. That's right. College football is upon us. We have two ranked teams, two people in my top 25 playing this week, that being Stanford and, of course, the University of South Florida. They're heading to the Bay Area to take on San Jose State later today. We'll be talking about that when we come back right here on Extra Sports 1300.
Everyone, back in your seats. Professor Fish is giving a lecture.
This is Mike Roberts with Westward, and you're listening to the University of Fish.
College football is back. Yes, the season starts in earnest next week, but this week, got a brand new stadium opening up in Fort Collins, and Oregon State's coming to play the guest at the opening of the stadium in Fort Collins. We're joined right now by Gina Mizell with the Oregonian, a beat writer for Oregon State. Gina, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm ready to get the season underway and can't wait to get out to Fort Collins and to see that beautiful new stadium and to see what I think's a really intriguing football game.
Well, now, Oregon State's going to have a tough year because we know the Pac-12 North is loaded because Washington State's better. Oregon's not going to have a down year like they had last year. And, of course, last year you had Washington in the college football playoffs. So and then you throw in Stanford, and it makes the North probably the most competitive side of the Pac-12. What has Oregon State got to do? What's the statement they have to make coming out today against Colorado State?
Well, first of all, they need to have better quarterback play than they've had the last two seasons. They were one of the worst passing teams in the entire country, and so they've got a new junior college guy, Jake Luton, who will be making his first start for Oregon State. So I'm interested to see how he does in that environment and with this receiving core and with some tweaks that they've made to the offense to try to be better downfield in the throwing game. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I think it all starts up front with this defensive line. This is a Beavers team that struggled to stop the run last season. And of course, Colorado State's got a pretty good tandem of running backs coming back. So they expect the Rams to try to just pound the ball, at least at the start of the game, to try to see if they can take advantage of that rushing attack. So you look at both sides of the ball, I think those are kind of the key focal points to start with when you look at this Oregon State team.
Now, what does Coach Anderson have to do to stop Mike Bobo and the Rams?
That's a fascinating question, because this offense is pretty potent when you look at what they can do on in the throw game and in the run game. But like I said, I think it starts with trying to pound the ball or trying to stop a Rams team that wants to pound the ball. But then offensively, I think Oregon State, even though they do want to improve their passing game and need to improve their passing game, they're also going to start with running the football as well with Ryan Nall. They've got Thomas Tyner now, an Oregon transfer that's coming in. Artavis Pierce, they really, their running back tandem goes about four or five guys deep. So that's where they're going to try to start with the run game. But then again, stopping the run, I think, will be the biggest thing for them to do against Colorado State as well.
Now, how do you see the Beaver season going?
I think this is a team that could make a bowl. You did mention that the Pac-12 North is very tough, and I definitely agree with that. And this is a team that has a really tough stretch to start Pac-12 play. They play Washington State, Washington, USC, Colorado, and Stanford in five consecutive games. So that's going to be a really, really challenging stretch. And I think that's why this game in Fort Collins this weekend is paramount for this team if they want to try to make a bowl game. But if you look at just the steps that this team is able to make, particularly at the end of last season when they finished with two consecutive wins, including their first Civil War victory since 2007. This team has been very open about talking about getting back to a bowl for the first time since 2013. So is that a guarantee? Certainly not. But do they have some pieces in place? And especially if they make the improvements that they think they're going to make, can they get to six wins? I do. So we'll see. They might need to rack up some wins at the beginning and end of the season to get there, but it's certainly within reach. So we'll see if they're able to get that done. And again, take kind of that next step in Gary Anderson's third season.
Well, we're talking with Gina Mizell from the Oregonian. Enjoy the new stadium in Fort Collins. Look forward to talking to you throughout the season.
All right. Appreciate it.
We have one ranked team in action this week, and that'd be the South Florida Bulls. I have them in my top 25. They're ranked 19th nationally. We're talking with Joey Knight right now of the Tampa Bay Times. They are making the trip across the country to San Jose to take on San Jose State. Joey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks for having me.
Now, okay, first game of the season, a ranked team, South Florida could go undefeated. What have they got to do tonight against San Jose State?
They've got to give their fans something to instill hope defensively. The defense has to go out and do something that they can hang their hat on going forward. It's been pretty well documented how poor this defense was last year, allowed more than 480 yards a game, really struggled tackling. We saw that on a Friday night up in Philadelphia against Temple, where they got gashed pretty well. We saw it against FSU last season and arguably the biggest home game in USF history. They got gashed pretty well by Dalvin Cook in that game, and it just perpetuated all season. So what Charlie Strong, the new coach, and his coordinator, Brian Jean-Marie, want to see, what USF fans want to see, is just an increased toughness, improved tackling on defense, something coming out of California to give them hope going forward. The offense is fine. The offense is going to do what it does, but these fans and this staff need to be, see something tangible on defense that they can build on.
Well, it's the first step to going undefeated, getting that group of five New Year's Six bowl invite. Now, you said the offense was fine. Have you seen anything from the San Jose defense that might give you a little bit of worry?
If I'm the Bulls coaching staff, I'm saying all the right things, but I don't think there's really great cause for concern. I think what the funny thing is, they're San Jose's new offensive coordinator, Andrew Stouder, was Charlie Strong's offensive quality control coach at Texas last season. And in addition to that, he and Sterling Gilbert, who is USF's offensive coordinator, came with Charlie from Texas. Stouder and Gilbert have worked together in the past at Bowling Green in Eastern Illinois. So Bulls coaches are expecting an offense very similar to what USF will run. In fact, I think you're going to see San Jose try to stress USF all over the field with the power run game, with the tight end, with the vertical downfield pass, but specifically with trying to establish something in the run game at a very high tempo. The problem is, I'm not sure San Jose has nearly the weapons or the depth that USF does on offense. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I think you'll see the two offenses trying to go very fast, but one of them far more efficiently than the other.
Well, Joey Knight of the Tampa Bay Times, want to thank you for joining us on game day. College football is back. Expect some big things from the USF Bulls, and I know we'll be talking to you later in the season.
All right. Thank you very much.
The BYU Cougars in action as well this weekend. They're taking on Portland State. We're talking with Dick Harmon from the Deseret News in Salt Lake City. Dick, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for joining us. Now, I haven't seen a lot of the Cougars in preseason, so what do you think the Cougars got to do? They are playing Portland State, so it shouldn't be too hard of a game, but what do the Cougars have to do to come set out a good tone for the season?
You know, they've got to come out and execute. There can't be any turnovers, no fumbles, no interceptions, people doing their assignments, making it really tight, consistent, and they ought to be able to score on this team. And they ought to be able to stop them from scoring. So I think those are the things that they probably want to get done. Avoid injuries, get their execution to be as good as they can in an opener, and get in and out of it as fast as they can to head down to Houston to take on LSU.
What do the Cougars have on offense this year?
Well, they've got a quarterback in Tanner Mangum who is a freshman, had to come in for Taysom Hill, threw two Hail Marys to beat Nebraska in Lincoln. Also beat Boise State with a Hail Mary. And then Taysom Hill came back. But this guy set out last year. He led him to a bowl game after Hill was hurt again. But Tanner Mangum has an NFL type of an arm. He's a big play artist. He's a gunslinger. And for the first time in his career at BYU, and the first time probably since 2009, BYU's got tight ends that can attack the middle and receivers who can really stretch out the field. So to use his talents in the way that they can, he's got the weapons to do it, and it'll be very interesting to see how it all comes together.
Through fall camp, how is the defense looking?
The defense has looked very good. They've got press man corners, something BYU usually has been lacking. They've got length. They've got speed. They're four deep. They also have a defensive line that can put on pressure with four, you know, down linemen. You don't have to bring a lot of extra help, especially against some of the non-power teams on their schedule. They'll be able to bring pressure with just four players. They have a guy came back that set out last year named Sione Takitaki. There's nobody that can block him on the offensive line and keep him out of the backfield. He's that good.
Now, got some big games coming up this year. What do you see overall for the Cougars this year?
I see them probably losing to LSU and to Wisconsin and probably Mississippi State. I see them beating Utah. I see them going the rest of the way. Good big challenge with Boise State. That'll be a tough one, but it'll be in Provo. And then I'm thinking that they'll win 10 games and possibly a bowl game, making it to 11.
Well, Dick,
they've got an extra game this year. They got an extra game this year because they go to Hawaii. So they'll be playing a 13-game schedule before they go to a bowl game.
You always do get that 13th game when you do have to go to Hawaii. Dick Harmon with the Deseret News. I know there's some big games coming up for BYU this year. Look forward to talking to you throughout the season.
All right. Thanks, Fish. Thanks for having me on.
Those are just a few of the games going on this weekend. You got Stanford and Rice. They're playing in Australia as well. We'll be talking about everything in earnest next week. And next week, we'll also have Fish's Picks. That's right. Fish's Picks are back. That is where I pick the games of the week, the top 10 games of the week. We pick them right here. Maybe you can make some money if you bet them. Maybe you can't. I don't know. My wife doesn't let me, but we'll see how you do this year on Fish's Picks. When we come back, we will be talking about my picks for the Power Five. That's right. I will give you conference champions. I will give you who I think is going to make the college football playoff. All that when we come back here on the University of Fish, right here on Extra Sports 1300.
Let's take a step out on the quad. Professor Fish is giving a lecture.
Hi, I'm Billy Sims, a 1978 Heisman Trophy winner from the University of Oklahoma, and you listen to the University of Fish. Boomer!
Welcome back. And now the past few weeks, we've had experts tell us everything they thought about my top 25 preseason countdown. I have not told you what I think about the Power Five conferences, who I think is going to win them, and who I think is going to the college football playoff, and who is going to win the Heisman Trophy. So it's time for that, because next week football starts in earnest. I mean, we have games, we have huge games next week. Michigan, Florida, Alabama, Florida State, some great games next week, and we will be going on site to get you prepared for each and every game. But right now, we're going to start with the ACC and what I think is going to happen. The ACC is going to be a very tough conference this year. Clemson's going to have a good year. Louisville has a returning Heisman Trophy winner coming back. And, of course, DeAndre Francois and Florida State looking to have a very big year. But don't rule out the other division. Virginia Tech's going to have a good year. I don't know how good. They'll be in the top 25, but I don't know if they will be up there. They will probably make in the ACC championship a game, but who will they be playing? If I had to say right now who they'd be playing, I'm going Florida State. I think Florida State has enough with DeAndre Francois that they can get it done this year. But don't rule out a Georgia Tech coming up really strong and against Virginia Tech, or even Miami with a rebound season under Coach Mark Richt down there, and the U would be very happy to have a good year. They will probably end up in the top 25. They're not in the preseason top 25, but they will probably make it into the top 25. So your ACC champion is going to end up being Florida State. I'm going to tell you that right now. We're going to move on to the Big Ten. The Big Ten East, that's where all the power is. You've got Penn State. You've got Ohio State. You've got Michigan. Michigan State is not going to stay down for long. They will probably still be down this year, but still, that is where all of the power is in the Big Ten. Now, the Big Ten West is going to be Wisconsin. Wisconsin has the easiest road to Indianapolis for the Big Ten championship game, but you can't rule out Nebraska. Iowa always pulls off a good win here and there, and you heard Pat Forty talk about it. Northwestern could come up and have a good season, but I think it's going to be Wisconsin in the West, and when you look at the East, it's going to come down to that Penn State-Ohio State game. I think it's going to end up being Ohio State, even though I hate saying that because I don't really like Urban Meyer, don't like what kind of program he has ran everywhere he has been. He's had problems with players in legal trouble everywhere he has been, but it's going to be Ohio State. Ohio State would probably beat Wisconsin in Indianapolis in the Big Ten championship game. Now, the Big 12, everybody's saying it's going to be Oklahoma. Well, SI, Sports Illustrated, thinks Oklahoma State's going to the college football playoff. I don't see that happening. Oklahoma State's going to have a great year with James Washington and Mason Rudolph back, and they've got they're loaded on offense. Oklahoma State cannot play defense. That is their problem. But West Virginia is going to have a very good year. Kansas State's going to have a good year, and I think Tom Herman's going to start riding the ship for the Texas Longhorns, but it is Oklahoma's conference to lose. In your championship game, you're going to end up seeing Oklahoma versus Oklahoma State times two. Anybody, whoever plays in the Big 12 championship game, it's going to be a rematch because you play everybody in the conference in the regular season. I do like that about the Big 12. The Big 12 does get that right. Well, because they only have 10 members, you have nine conference games. It's just how it works out. But Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, once again in the Big 12 championship game, and Oklahoma will win the Big 12. Moving on to the Pac-12. In the Pac-12, is going to be probably the most competitive conference. Not saying the best, but the most competitive conference, especially in the Pac-12 North, where Washington State with Coach Mike Leach is going to have a great year. Willie Taggart, they're at Oregon. They're going to come back. They're going to have a much better year than they had last year. But you have to look at Stanford as well. Stanford starting off tonight against Rice in Australia. They're playing in Sydney, Australia. So the game will actually be Sunday in Australia, but it'll be really late tonight here in the United States. I think that game kicks off 10:30 Mountain Time. So that's going to be a really late game. So if you want to watch college football into your Sunday morning, you can do that. And I think that'll be on after the Broncos, so you don't even have to worry about that interfering into your Saturday evening. But Stanford will have a great season, but you have to look at Washington. Jake Browning back. I mean, they are going to be very good on offense. The question about Washington is their defense, because three players in the top 45 picks from that defensive backfield. You heard Pat Forty talking about it earlier. That's going to hurt that defense a lot. But I still think they have enough to win the Pac-12 North. The Pac-12 South is pretty much USC and everybody else. Colorado, I'm sorry, you're not going to have the season like you had last year. So USC will win the Pac-12 South. So you got Washington, USC. I think USC takes the Pac-12 championship game, and they will be in the college football playoff. I'll tell you who else is going to be in the college football playoff in just a second. Now you come to the SEC, the conference everybody loves to hate. Everybody loves to hate the SEC for good reason, because they've had continued success over the past decade. You look at Florida winning way back when with Urban Meyer. Then you have the run that Alabama's had. You've had a couple Auburn thrown in there. I mean, other than Florida State, Ohio State, and Clemson winning, it's craziness. I mean, it really is. The SEC has been so dominant that, yes, you have to say they are the best conference in football. But the power is obviously in the SEC West. But the SEC East this year is going to be much better. I was talking with someone yesterday. They think that South Carolina is going to end up second or third in the SEC East. I think that's a long stretch, because Will Muschamp, I don't know, it's going to take him some time to get something going there in South Carolina, following up the old ball coach. But Florida will win the SEC East. Georgia is going to jump up and give him a challenge. Georgia is going to have a very fine season with Coach Kirby Smart there and in Athens, but it's going to be the Florida Gators winning the SEC East. Now, when it comes to the West, yeah, you think, okay, automatically Alabama. Not so fast, my friend. Auburn's going to have a great year this year. Auburn's going to be very good. LSU going to be very good with Coach Orgeron, you know, and so you have to look. It's going to be Bama that wins it, but it's going to come down to the Iron Bowl. I think Auburn's going to have a good enough season that they could knock off someone along the way to where that Iron Bowl game is going to decide who wins the SEC West, who goes to Atlanta for the SEC championship to take on the Florida Gators. Now, it's not going to matter because whoever wins the SEC West is going to win the SEC championship. The only caveat I'd give you there is if LSU somehow came up and won the SEC West, I can see Florida beating LSU. They'll have to do it on the field twice if that happens, because they will be playing in Florida again this year for the next 2 years because of the whole hurricane game last year. So you got Alabama winning the SEC. You have USC winning the Pac-12. You have Oklahoma winning the Big 12. You have Ohio State winning the Big 10. And you have Florida State winning the ACC. Who gets left out of the playoff? That's the big question. Now, if you see a Pac-12 team get a couple losses and then end up winning the conference, that's going to shut the Pac-12 out. SC is going to have to run the table. Washington's going to have to run the table to get into the college football playoff. I think a one-loss Big 12 could get in. I think obviously a one-loss SEC can get in. A one-loss Big 10 can get in. And a one-loss ACC can get in. A one-loss Pac-12 may get shut out. You may have to run the table in the Pac-12. So I think it's going to be Florida State, Alabama, Ohio State, and Oklahoma in the college football playoff. And who do I think is going to be in the finalists for the Heisman? Well, you're going to have Saquon Barkley is going to be in New York. Baker Mayfield making a return trip. He'll be a three-time Heisman finalist. I don't know if he'll get it this year. We'll have to see how that goes. I can't pick a winner for the Heisman right now because we got to see what they're doing on the field. Lamar Jackson could get invited back to New York, even though he will be in New York because he's the defending Heisman Trophy winner. So he will be there either way, and he's got a vote. We'll have to see if he actually votes for himself. It's always interesting when these college players come back and they have the opportunity to vote for themselves for the Heisman. It's kind of crazy. We'll see how he does there. Sam Darnold, the USC quarterback, he will be there. Mason Rudolph has a very good possibility. The quarterback for Oklahoma State, very good possibility of being in New York there in mid-December for the Heisman Trophy presentation. But if I were to say who right now is going to win the Heisman Trophy, I'm going to go with the odds-on favorite right now, and that's Sam Darnold, the USC quarterback. But he's going to have to win because a couple losses for USC, he's going to be out of contention for the Heisman. Because you always look at the quarterback play as the reasoning why you lose. So next week, we got to talk about that real quick. Next week, we're going to talk to Michigan. We're going to talk to Florida. We'll talk to Alabama. We'll talk to Florida State. We will get you ready for the biggest opening weekend of college football that I can remember. I mean, because Florida State and Alabama right there themselves, that's going to be a massive game. We'll go on campus. We'll talk to the writers. We'll know exactly what to expect for that, and we'll have Fish's picks. That's all coming up next week. So for now, class dismissed.